This is the On the Line podcast.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
And we're back to another episode of the On the Line podcast. Here again with Bella. How you doing, man?
Not so good after yesterday, man. I'm going to be honest.
That was brutal. I would say, personally, what do you think? One of the worst games we've seen in the past 5 to 7 years, probably, out of the Steelers?
Definitely up there in the top three. I mean, it's by far and above the worst we've seen this season. But yeah, awful showing. I was embarrassed, especially like the first half was way worse. I think they picked it up in the second.
A little.
But yeah, that first half was, I mean, it was like watching a train wreck. You just couldn't take your eyes off of how bad it was.
Dude, it was bad. I agree, it was bad. But, you know, let's start the show off with something that was exciting and something that was probably has an even worse outcome than actually winning the game. I know I worded that really weirdly, but the Jets beat the Rams this weekend. While nobody really saw that coming, the Jets are now a one-win team and have lost out on the Trevor Lawrence lottery for now. Granted, the Jaguars don't win another game, and granted, the Jets don't win another game. So right now, we got the Jaguars in prime position for the number one overall pick, Noah. You know, you and I talked a little while ago about, you know, the Jags situation and how Trevor Lawrence can affect them. What do you think? Do you think that Trevor Lawrence would benefit the Jags more or would benefit the Jets more?
I mean, he's going to benefit them, in my opinion, the same, I guess, because they want to move on from Darnold in New York, and Jacksonville doesn't seem convinced with Minshew, so they both need a QB. But it's definitely more interesting to me that he goes to Jacksonville than New York. I think it's better for the league, honestly, because Jacksonville, that would make that AFC South a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I agree there. The AFC South would just be, you'd have the Titans, who are a playoff team, you'd have the Colts, who are a playoff team, you'd have the Jags. Probably, I would say probably in 2 years, they would be a playoff team if they got Lawrence. And the Texans, I mean, you know, they need some help. But if they surround Deshaun Watson with some good help, they could be the playoff teams too. So I think that Trevor Lawrence helps them a lot. I want to focus on the Jets for a second here. Let's take a look at them real quick. They lost out on the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence. Number two is what they have now. And they would probably be looking at taking Justin Fields, I would assume. Noah, if you're the Jets GM right now, what do you do with that number two pick?
I deal it. I give it away. I don't think that they're a win now, win in the future, anytime soon team, especially because it looks like Buffalo seems like they're going to have a hold on that division for the time being, and Miami's up there now. And you know, Bill Belichick, even though he's not having his best season, I mean, he's never going to try and lose, and I think they'll rebound next year. So it'll actually end up being a tough road for them. I mean, it's an uphill battle, so I don't think that they're in a position to win now. That would ruin Lawrence. I think Jacksonville has a much better chance at putting together a contender next year than the New York Jets do. So that's why I think New York's got to trade that pick. You could get 2 first-rounders for him. I think
that's... So that's what you think is going to happen, 2 first-rounders. If, in this scenario, if they trade that pick, you would think that they would get 2 first-rounders for that?
They could, depending on what it is. Definitely, I don't know about 2 first-round picks this year, if any team has the ability. I don't even know
right.
if it's like a scenario.
Right.
But as far as like first... this year, next year? Absolutely.
Really? Okay. So let's reimagine this. So let's say that, I don't know, just for shits and giggles, let's say that the Patriots trade with the Jets. The Patriots give the Jets their first round pick this year. They swap first round picks for that and their first round pick next year. Is that enough? So you would essentially be trading back and getting just one first round pick next year.
I don't know. I'm not the one to set the market on Trevor Lawrence, but I think it's worth it for the right buyer. Look, the kid's very special. It's one of the better QBs that we've seen come out of college. I mean, when's the last time other than, let's say, Kyler Murray? And I think Trevor Lawrence is better. People are saying that he is, at least. The kid's a winner. Look, I think any team could give up a first for him and get him. I mean, what would you do? Do you believe that he's worth that price?
I personally would draft him. If I were the Jets, I would draft him. The reason being is I get that you're surrounding him with garbage, but the Jets do have two first round picks this year. So they would be able to get him. They would be able to get probably, I would say, Penei Sewell from Oregon, the offensive tackle, is who I would draft with that Jets second pick. Now, that second pick's from the Seahawks, so that's a little bit deep to get that offensive lineman, so they may not get it. But, you know, I would get something to help on the offensive side of the ball, so I would draft Lawrence. You know, you could even go out and get a wide receiver for him. And this draft, like last draft, is pretty loaded with wide receivers. I mean, what's his name? Waddle from the Crimson Tide, Alabama. He will be available right there for their pick. So, you know, Devonta Smith also, he's getting Heisman considerations right now. So, you know, I think maybe surrounding Trevor Lawrence, getting Trevor Lawrence and surrounding him is helpful. But it also depends on the identity this team wants to run with the new coach. Are you going to be running a Cleveland type offense and like a Tennessee type offense where you run first? Or are you going to be running an offense where it's all dependent on the QB? Because if you're running a run first offense, you don't need Trevor Lawrence. You need just someone that's like competent, and you could probably draft him, you know, second, late first with that second pick or whatever. But, you know, if this team wants to throw the ball with the new coach, you know, you're going to definitely need a good quarterback back there. And I think, you know, that head coaching position, I think that would be a little more clarity for me as to whether or not they should draft him. But I would definitely say that drafting Trevor Lawrence would be the move here just because he's generational talent. And he's coming out of college, but he's generational talent. The guy has all the intangibles and the tangibles. I mean, he is just, he's amazing. He's never had a bad season at Clemson, honestly. So that would be my pick. Take Trevor Lawrence if I'm the Jets.
Yeah, but that's, again, it's only if they have the first round pick. If Jacksonville has it, I mean, that's why I'm saying that I would trade that second overall pick instead of having Fields. But yeah, I mean, if he's there and if you want him, yeah, sure. I would still trade it if I was the head coach of the Jets, just because I don't believe that they have any chance to win soon. I think it's probably the worst organization in the NFL. But yeah, I mean, if he's there for the Jets taking, I wouldn't blame them. But I thought we were talking about them being number two, because then what do you do with Fields? I don't think Fields is as good.
If I'm the Jets with that number two pick, I would agree with you that you would probably trade that pick to somebody else who wants to trade up, you know, probably. I mean, you look at the draft order right now, who desperately needs a quarterback in this upcoming draft? Carolina, but, you know, they have the fourth overall pick behind Cincinnati. So Cincinnati's not taking a QB. And then you have Atlanta. They need a QB. And then,
whoa,
you know,
Atlanta.
Yeah, dude, they need a QB.
What do you mean? Matt Ryan, dude, Matt Ryan is not nearly in the consideration for being out the door. If he is, Ben Roethlisberger's even worse.
I agree, but I think we both can agree that Ben Roethlisberger is out the door, because Steelers need a QB. I would say Atlanta does too. Granted, Matt Ryan is still a competent thrower. His arm strength doesn't look as bad as Big Ben's does, but I do think that Atlanta should plan for the future and get a QB now, because they're going to need one within, you know, 1 or 2 years guaranteed.
See, here's
so you might
thing,
as well go
how
get
often
one now.
Does that happen? I think that this is a whole other topic, though. Other than with Aaron Rodgers, it really never happens that the starter just waits there behind. It's kind of just a next man up, like what happens, happens thing. I don't think that many teams really truly are saying, we're going to shape and mold this guy. Like, I don't think that that's what's happening with that Green Bay situation right now with Jordan Love. So that's why I'm just saying, I don't think it's Matt Ryan has a couple of decent years left. So, and no team ever does that plan for the future thing. It just doesn't work.
I mean, I think teams do. I'm going to disagree with you there. Look at the Rams. The Rams drafted Jared Goff, not with the expectation of him to start the first year. They let him sit and then put Goff into that situation. Same thing with Dak. Dallas drafted Dak Prescott not to be the starter. They still had Romo, but they knew Romo was getting old and on the decline.
No, Romo got injured. They weren't
exactly
old Dak.
But they still drafted a QB. There's no one on that Atlanta roster. I think their backup's still Matt Schaub.
It's not like that they thought that Dak Prescott was going to come out. It was a sixth round pick. They just needed a
no,
backup.
I,
they weren't molding him.
I agree. I agree they weren't molding him. But my, what I'm saying is that they did draft a QB to sit there. You know, and while they didn't think he was going to be the franchise guy, they still had a young QB on the roster there that was competent enough to take the reins. Same thing happened with Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes sat for a year and then came in. And so
yeah,
Mahomes
okay.
and Jared Goff,
I'll,
you know.
Okay, I'll take Mahomes and Jared Goff. Any others? I mean, I don't think that that's really the direction that the league's moving. You could say the same thing that the plan was for Mason Rudolph to come in, because it was. He was taken with a higher pick than Dak. And he stinks. And
no,
he
does.
If anyone was planning on Ben and molding him to be the starter, he stunk. So, yes, I think it happened with Patrick Mahomes. I'm not letting you claim Dak. I don't think that that was the plan. Jared Goff, yeah, any first-round pick that you drafted. But even look with the – I'm not seeing anything out of the Jordan Love situation, so –
I agree. I don't think the Jordan Love move was a good idea. And I won't point to the Jalen Hurts thing because we don't know what's going on there. And they definitely didn't draft Jalen Hurts to be like, hey, we know Wentz is going to suck. Let's draft Jalen Hurts. I'll give you that. But I do think that at this point in time, Atlanta should be considering QB. I mean, they do have a, you know, they do have a defensive hole. And probably that hole would be the entire secondary that they have to fill. But on offense, they're pretty loaded. They still have Julio, Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst. They need to figure out that running back situation because Todd Gurley clearly isn't working out there. But, you know, honestly, if the Falcons are sitting with the fifth pick and you have, you know, Justin Fields could fall there and you have Mac Jones, like if you're the Falcons and you have Justin Fields in your lap, in your opinion, would you take him?
That's tough. I mean, but what are you going to do with him? Because it's not like you're going to just, if you would move on from Ryan from a cap hit standpoint, yeah, but I don't think anyone in that locker room is unpleased with his effort. He has 4,000 yards passing right now. He very well is going to get to near 4,500. I mean, they have two games left and he has a good pass offense. So, I mean, that's 500 yards. That's 500 yards less than Jameis did last year.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You know, I think that it's going to be interesting. That was a huge tangent that we just went on. But, you know, in my opinion, I thought that maybe, you know, Atlanta could be looking at QB and kind of going back to our original point of the Jets. You know, I agree with you. If they have that second pick, they should probably trade it, get the draft stock because – honestly, Noah, what point of the Jets do you think is solid on that team? Do you think they have any solid, you know, points on that team on offense or defense?
No. No, honestly, no. I mean, there's things that are better than others, but even the things that they're very good at, I would just consider average across the league. They don't have any top talent anywhere.
True. I agree. Besides, I mean, look, hey, a first-round pick is finally playing out for them because it looks like, what's his name? Mekhi Becton is turning out to be an actual good pick for them. So, you know, I would say that that was a good draft pick for them, and hopefully they make a smarter decision now. Let's touch on the Jags a little bit, though. Getting Trevor Lawrence would be huge. I think you and I both agree on that. You look at offense and defense, their linebacking core is solid. Miles Jack, Joe Schobert, and you got Josh Allen there. You know, their secondary is where they probably need help the most. But on offense, you still got, you know, you still got Conley. You still got DJ Chark. I mean, James Robinson was an absolute gem that they found. QB is the only position they need. You know, Noah, they're a one-win team this year. Let's say Trevor goes there next year. Would you give, you know, how many wins does Trevor bring there? I think that was the huge question with Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati. How many more wins is he going to get that Cincinnati team? I think Trevor Lawrence is set up in a better position in Jacksonville than Joe Burrow was in Cincinnati. You know, what do you think? Do you think that, you know, Trevor Lawrence would be able to bring in, you know, at least and start winning year one?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that they're pretty similar situations. I will agree that I think it might be a better defensive team. Because Cincinnati, they have a decent offense, you know, no offensive line. And I think the Jags have Cincinnati beat there. So very similar. I think Trevor's is better. I agree with you. But yeah, as far as him coming in, he's going to give 5 wins, I think. I think Joe Burrow would have done very similar to that, too. I mean, he was playing great. If Trevor Lawrence plays the same way, yeah, I mean, I'd give them 5 wins, no problem. And there's the sky's the limit, depending on what they do with the rest of the cap that's around them. I think that they're leading, or not leading, but they're first, or they have the most cap space going into next season, at least from a projected standpoint. So they could do a lot. The Jets are up there too. I think they're pretty close.
Yeah, the Jets are. I think the number's $77 million. You could sign a lot of guys for $77 million. So, you know, they can really surround Trevor Lawrence with good talent there. I'm excited, actually. I'm a little excited for Jacksonville because, you know, somehow, some way, Jacksonville was good with Blake Bortles. And, you know, most of that can just be relied on. That defense was unbelievable. But now, you know, you look at Trevor Lawrence coming in, the identity of that team will totally shift from more defensive-minded to offensive-minded. Oh, and that brings me to another question I have for you. Do you think they'll keep Doug Marrone?
No, I think he's out. How many years has he been there? 4 or 5, I believe. I mean, he was there
around there.
So, look, here's the thing. I think that owner, I think it's what, Shad Khan?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone knows that Jacksonville is always near the bottom of the league in attendance. I mean, he hasn't put together more than one winning season. That was the only season was that miracle year with Blake Bortles and that great defense. So I think there's pressure to have a good team, especially now that the AFC South is ramping back up in competition. It was only really Houston there for a year or two, and now all of a sudden Indianapolis and Tennessee, good teams. I mean, they're going to be playoff contenders with the core groups around them. So they got to compete. And I think the owner would make a statement, and it's going to be awesome if they can and will get a Trevor Lawrence.
I think that division has some of the most parity in it in the whole league, just because, like you said, dude, when the Colts had Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, they were good. Then Tennessee came along. They won a couple playoff games earlier, and now they're good too. Texans have been good, and the Jags were good that 1 year. So there's always like a different team that's kind of at the top. Unlike, you know, the AFC North, it's been Ravens, Steelers. AFC East, it's been the Patriots. You know, that division itself has just had a lot of flexibility, and I think that's good. And, you know, like we both said, we're excited for the Jags coming up here. But let's move on and talk about probably one of the most embarrassing losses that we've both seen out of the Pittsburgh Steelers, losing to the Cincinnati Bengals. I believe the stat is Pittsburgh had beat the Bengals 11 times in a row prior to that night. So, you know, just totally embarrassing. Noah, what happened? What is the biggest problem with Pittsburgh? Like, they want to win 11 straight. Why are they falling apart?
One thing, I think it's the schedule. Washington was considered a toss-up a while ago, but their schedule hasn't really been that great. So, and when they were at full strength, it was easier. I mean, they were much more talented than all of their other opponents. Now they sort of have to outgame them and outscheme them both on both sides of the ball, in my opinion, because Connor's never healthy. He's never full go. I think Ben's, you know, he's up there in age. I mean, we should consider that, like, he's tired. He's like, what, 38 years old? Him and Rivers are probably like pretty tired right now. Normally they have a lot more strength. So I think that they're limited on both sides of the ball. And now they're actually playing decent teams. I mean, the Colts and the Browns coming up, they're going to be tougher to beat than they were a while ago when we had full rosters. So I just don't think that they're getting more injured and teams are getting better than them. And now that they have to actually like fight and out scheme them, they look very, very beatable.
I mean, I agree. I was watching the game last night and I was like, holy shit, dude, we could lose to any team that we play. We play the Colts and the Browns next. We could lose both those games, but I'm an optimistic person. And I look at this team and I say, hey, we won 11 games. So clearly they did something right. We'll be getting Robert Spillane and Vince Williams back. That shores up the linebackers a little bit. When Spillane was in there, he played very well. And I think that just for the future is a little bit of a wake-up call for Vince Williams, because with Devin Bush and Spillane, those are two cheap linebackers that you could run, and they're both very good. You know, we're not getting Dupree back, so that hurts. We're getting Kevin Dotson back on the offensive line, and James Conner, hopefully, fingers crossed, will come back. So, you know, I think that there is some hope and optimism. They got to change their game plan. When they came out of half, they started running the ball more, and I believe Benny Snell finished with over 80 yards rushing, and he had a touchdown last night. You got to mix up the run and the pass, otherwise become too predictable. Running crossing routes and slant routes and having Ben throw those quick passes, it used to work. It doesn't anymore. Teams know they have film. They're jumping the routes. Juju got absolutely demolished last night because they knew exactly where the ball was coming. Plus, Big Ben is throwing hospital passes too, getting his receivers killed. It was 3rd and 10. You're throwing the ball back to the line of scrimmage. You're not going to get 10 yards out of that. I just think Ben needs to, you know, tone it down, because clearly the deep ball isn't working as much. And I think that, you know, they need to take all the pressure off his shoulders, because they're asking him to throw 30, 40 times a game. Not going to work. You got to run the ball. Get James Conner involved. Get Benny Snell involved. And, you know, I think you just got to change up the game plan. The defense is fine. It's hurt, but they're going to get players back and they'll be fine. That's what's going to keep us in games. But the offense, I think their identity needs to change. What do you think?
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it's just not, it's not scary. It's not exciting to watch, because it used to be this Ben Roethlisberger, chuck it down the field. You have guys like Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown. It's very in your face. They're going to come at you with big plays. Now, it seems, especially in the recent games, that threat of Connor hasn't really been there. So they're trying to go for these high percentage looks with Ben. All of these like dink and dunk passes, which is fine because we have guys that can do that. But the drops too, I think, have really hurt his confidence. So I think that he's a little down on the players. There's probably a little tension there just because they've had some looks in games that would have allowed them to stay in them, and they were either dropped or bad throw. I think it's just, there's no chemistry. It's just a very rigid, boring offense right now. So yeah, they absolutely need an identity change.
And I think that, you know, Juju dancing on the logo, everyone's making a big deal about it. Yeah, it's kind of inappropriate, but you're focusing on the wrong things. Like Joe Hayden tweeted out today, that's the least of our problems. I agree. You have so many other problems, whether it's focus, whether it's chemistry, whether it's just, you know, offensive play calling, whatever it is, bigger problems than him dancing on the logo. They got to get right and get ready for this game on Sunday, because the Colts are no joke. And if they lose that game, they'll be in serious trouble come week 17 when they have to play the Browns. And that'll be for the AFC North. And imagine how demoralizing it's going to be if Pittsburgh rolls into the playoffs, lost the AFC North after starting 11-0, just lost to the Cleveland Browns, and you might actually have to play Cleveland in the playoffs. So I think that it's a little bit of a problem for them. And they got to get to work. Mike Tomlin's got to write the ship, man. The standard is the standard. They gotta get it together. And I think they're the biggest, wouldn't you say? I think they're the biggest problem right now in the NFL. They have the most dysfunction.
I mean, that's always what it is. I mean, they've probably been the most dysfunctional organization in terms of just a drama standpoint for the last couple of years. It's been the saga starting with Bell all the way up until now. They've always have some sort of polarizing personality, and that's sort of what I want to transition to with Lev Bell. You know, he had his contract drama. AB had whatever the heck AB has, probably still has. AB's nuts. Now it's Juju. Listen, I think it's a distraction. If I were you, would you let him keep doing that? Because I know Tomlin said he was going to talk to him. But I think it is a distraction. And Joe Hayden's right about it being the least of their problems. But yeah, Juju still has the eyes on him right now. It's an attention thing. It is a distraction from the team. I mean, because everyone thinks about it. Even though that they don't say it, he definitely talks about it in the locker room. So, and people see them in here with this camera. I think it's a distraction. And so what do you think? Would you say that even though, yes, they should focus more on winning? I mean, he's got to cut the shit, right?
I agree. He does. He's got to stop it. I mean, they got to get focused. He's got to stop dancing and focus more on football. And because his stat line is horrendous. It's not like he's putting up all these huge games and, you know, doing something that's amazing out here every single week. It's not like he's putting up record numbers. I mean, this guy is just last night. Let's go through it. Last night, 3 catches, 15 yards. The game before that, 6 catches, 55. Game before, 7 catches, 28. He has yet to put up 100 yards receiving. The most he had was 93. And that was against Dallas, one of the worst secondaries in the league. So, yeah, he's got a lot of work to do. He's being outplayed right now. Deontay, even with the drops, Deontay last night was better. Chase Claypool last night was better. And I think James Washington, while he doesn't get as many targets, he makes some big plays. He's the whole reason they beat the Ravens with a COVID team, and we should have lost that game too. So Juju's got to get right. I agree with you here. I think it's a big distraction, and he's got to cut it out. I agree.
If you look at his numbers, what do they look like? Do they look like a number one wide receiver, or do they look like a solid slot receiver? It's a slot guy. It's 82 catches. Yeah, good amount of catches, but 670 yards, you're not doing anything with that. I'm just going to compare him to another wide receiver this year. 80 catches for 950 yards. What slot receiver? Can you take a guess?
Cole Beasley.
I wish you wouldn't have guessed that, but it's unassuming in my eyes. I don't think most people would expect him, because definitely looks like he's on pace for 1,000 yards this year and over 80-something catches. So you're letting Cole Beasley outplay you, and you were supposed to be this guy that replaced Antonio Brown, but you don't see Cole Beasley dancing on the logo, and they just kicked your ass. And he's putting up better numbers. And there's plenty of other guys that are doing that too. So, listen, and if the standard's the standard, I don't believe it for Juju Smith-Schuster, because it doesn't look like it.
I agree. And look, Cole Beasley's putting up those numbers, and he has Stephon Diggs on his team. Like, he's putting up all those numbers, right? And, you know, he's not even getting a large majority of the targets there. So, you know, he's got to step up. He's got to step up big time. Otherwise, he's in a contract year. What team is going to want? Every single team in the league is looking at this and saying, "Huh, you know who else is a free agent? Allen Robinson." And I would much rather have Allen Robinson than have Juju Smith-Schuster, because you know that he plays hard. The guy puts up big numbers, and who does he have throwing to? Mitch Trubisky, and he probably gets double teamed every single game because he's the only wide receiver on that team. You know, if Juju got double teamed, it would be game over. The guy would see no catches. His stat line would be even worse. I think Deontay has more receiving yards than Juju does this year. Like, it's absolutely unacceptable. And, you know, Mike Tomlin's got to – he's got to talk to him, dude. He's got to talk to him. And I don't know what he's going to say, but he's got to tell him to cut it out, honestly.
We'll see, man. I think with the Steelers, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and it always seems like it doesn't really turn around once it gets bad with us. We've never been able to turn it around. That's been our MO for the last 5 or 6 years. And now we actually have more injuries, in my opinion. So we'll see what this group is like mentally. Are they going to turn it around? Are they actually going to get it together here for one last ride? Because I think if it's this year, I think this is it. I don't think that they have a whole bunch of changes coming in the offseason too. That's a whole nother topic we have for Pittsburgh, is that they have a ton of offseason changes. But are they going to be a band of brothers? Are they going to hustle up for one last ride? I don't know.
Good points. Let's move on here. We said we're going to do tight end rankings. Let's do them right now. You know, Noah, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Well, I think that it's very easy to say who the number one tight end right now in the league is, and that's Travis Kelce. I don't think you even need, you know, an explanation there. Guy's been an absolute animal. He is just uncoverageable. Like, people are comparing him to Rob Gronkowski. Now, Rob Gronkowski was more dominant when he played. He's more healthy. He's more available for his team, which makes him more valuable than Rob Gronkowski, in my opinion, just because, you know, he is just going absolutely off. Second in the league in total receiving yards, an absolute beast. I don't need to talk about him anymore. The next tight end, I also think, is a clear-cut one, Darren Waller. Darren Waller is absolutely balling out this year. Everyone knows his story. I think it's been projected on TV a million times about what he's been able to overcome, and it actually is amazing. But Darren Waller is having an unbelievable season. He is the only bright spot in that receiving core for the Raiders, and that was my whiff, because I thought that Henry Ruggs would be the best rookie receiver, and boy, was I wrong. But look, Darren Waller is an absolute beast. I can only imagine what the Ravens would be like if they still had Darren Waller on their team. So it's really interesting, and you know, he's totally had a breakout year this year. My next tight end is someone that is having a breakout year, and I think that there's going to be more to come for him. TJ Hockenson. I think Hockenson's an absolute animal. You know, he's getting an unbelievable amount of target share there with Kenny Galladay being out. So, you know, I think TJ Hockenson as my third best tight end totally would keep him there. Number four, somebody that got snubbed from the Pro Bowl, and I don't know how. Evan Ingram made it over him. Robert Tonyan, guy has been balling out for Aaron Rodgers in that offense. Aaron Rodgers asked to get more weapons and didn't expect to see it from Robert Tonyan, but here he is, 10 touchdowns this year, you know, right there with Travis Kelce, who has 10. So he's been an absolute beast, and I'm going to rank him as my number four tight end just because, you know, he's balling out. And then my number five tight end is, you know, and Kittle would obviously be in this list, but he's just been injured this year. And talent-wise, Kittle is a top five tight end, but I'm just not going to include him, the same reason why in our running back rankings we didn't have Saquon or any of them. But my number five tight end, I'm going to go with Mark Andrews here. Mark Andrews is an absolute beast for Baltimore. He's the best receiving threat that they have on that team at tight end or wide receiver. 7 touchdowns, 600 yards receiving. He's doing very well for them, you know. And I would say, you know, Zach Ertz has definitely regressed. Austin Hooper has regressed. Jared Cook has regressed. But my tight ends for this year are going to be Kelce, Waller, Hockenson, Tonyan, and then I'm going to have Mark Andrews at five. Compared to my five from the preseason, I had Kelce at one, which is the same. Then I had Kittle. Then I had Waller at three. I had Ertz and Jared Cook in there. Ertz and Jared Cook falling out of the top five. You know, they're not as lethal as they used to be. Goddard seems to take that over in Philly. So, you know, that's my top five, Noah. What do you think?
This is going to be one of the rare times that I actually agree with you, but I had the exact same list. I was only considering maybe throwing Hunter Henry in there over Mark Andrews at the end. Only just considering it, because he's actually having a very nice season there with Los Angeles now that he's back from injury, but he hasn't played enough. So
true.
I agree with them every order. Love Hockenson this year. I think he's really benefiting from Kenny Galladay being out, and Matt Stafford seems to be really liking him as a target. So, And as far as the other guys, it doesn't need to be mentioned what Travis Kelce and Darren Waller are doing on the field this year. And if you go look at Kittle's numbers, because I know you mentioned him, he was second in, he's still ranked second in receiving yards per game in the games that you've played, obviously. So look, he was on a tear when he was actually healthy. So in my opinion, those guys are always going to be 1-2. But yeah, man, you said it all about every other player on the list. It's, to me, those are the five obvious ones.
I also think that one person that we should mention, Logan Thomas, has actually come up and been, he's been a nice piece for Washington. And I don't know where he came from, but he's been nice, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. I think he's been a bright spot again. I think he really benefited from Alex Smith using him because it's kind of a kind of an easy target. It's always the old reliable check down for a lot of quarterbacks. So they've really been relying on that in the short pass game. So he's benefited from that. And maybe Jordan Reed 2.0. I don't know. He hopefully with less injuries, but.
Yeah. Let's move on to our last segment here. We're going to go through what the playoff scenario is right now and say which teams we think are going to go one and done as of right now. So, you know, in the AFC, let's start there. We have right now Kansas City gets the bye. We have Buffalo versus Miami, Pittsburgh, Indy, and Tennessee, Cleveland. Noah, let's start Buffalo, Miami. Who's going one and done in that game?
To me, it's Miami. I don't think that they have the offensive firepower. Tua looked a little lost in that New England game last week, and especially him being a rookie QB. That's not going to be enough for me to take them over the Bills, because I hate to say it, Josh Allen is looking like he's having a fantastic season. He definitely deserves to be considered in the top five, top 10 quarterbacks this year. He's having a great year. So to me, it's Miami. Pretty easy.
I don't know, man. The first time they played, granted it was week two, it was a 3-point game with Ryan Fitzpatrick. The only thing that's you know, I would lean Buffalo, and I probably am going to take them, but watch out for Miami's defense, because like you said, Noah, when Josh Allen plays a good defense, he's in trouble. So Xavier Howard leads the league in interceptions, and it's not just by coincidence. He's a good player. They have a good secondary, and I think they're a good team. So, but I am going to lead Buffalo here. I would think Miami would go one and done just because that offense. Pittsburgh, Indy, who's going one and done? Oh, they're actually playing this weekend, but Pittsburgh versus Indy would play right now in the playoffs. So who's going one and done?
Pittsburgh to me, because their offense just looks stale. Indianapolis finally is starting to really utilize that run game. Jonathan Taylor is getting going. And if there's another defense that scares me in the leagues besides Pittsburgh at their peak, it's Indianapolis right now. They look like a fantastic defense. So to me, I'm taking Indianapolis in the win. So Pittsburgh's going to get bounced.
I agree. Pittsburgh's bounced. After watching that game last night, no confidence in them to beat Indy until they prove it. Until they prove it, maybe this weekend they will and they'll change our minds. But right now, no confidence. Cleveland, Tennessee. Noah, this is a big game. And this game happened a few weeks ago. Cleveland had the better of Tennessee, both 10-4. Who wins this one?
It's really tough. This is probably the closest matchup to me, but you got to lean on the Titans. I think that they have better coaching. I think that they really play their game well. Cleveland is starting to play their game well too, but I'm going to go down to coaching here, and I feel like Ryan Tannehill is a little more, or he's less mistake prone than Baker Mayfield, and you can rely on him to throw the ball more. So I feel like Tennessee's going to be able to try to scheme to shut down Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. They're going to try to force Baker to throw, and if I'm doing that, I'm going to take Ryan Tannehill in that Tennessee pass attack rather than Cleveland. So it's close, but I'm leaning Tennessee.
I thought you were going to take Cleveland there for a second, but I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take Tennessee. I think Cleveland's one and done. When you look at down the line, like you said, you look at QB, Tannehill, you look at running back, it's close. Chubb and Kareem are very good, but Derrick Henry's better. You know, you look at wide receiver, Corey Davis, AJ Brown, I would take over Jarvis Landry and Donovan Peoples-Jones right now. So you got to lean Cleveland. Coach is interesting. You said Vrabel's a better coach. Vrabel is a very good coach, but I think Stefanski is an absolute genius on offense there. I think that he's a main reason why this team is so good this year. So I would actually take Coach Cleveland more. But, you know, Tennessee, I think you have to give it to them. They're just better all around rather than Cleveland. So Cleveland's going one and done. Let's go over to the NFC. Green Bay would get the number one seed, so they would have a bye. Then we have Arizona, New Orleans, Tampa, Seattle, and Los Angeles, Washington. Let's get the easy one out of the way. Let's say Los Angeles plays Washington. Who's getting bounced here?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love Washington to try to make some run just as a Ron Rivera upset feel-good story, but I don't think McVay is going to let that that Jets loss take him down. He's going to be balls to the wall, and that team's just going to try to lay it out as much as possible. They're definitely not getting bounced. It'll be Washington.
Agreed. Nothing else to add there. Tampa, Seattle, 3 seed versus 6 seed. Who are you taking there?
This one's tough because they're two very bipolar teams. You can't really just have them as a lock because they look hot and then they look cold. Just because I don't want to see Tom Brady succeed, I'm going with Seattle. But I will say I think Tampa's defense has a much better potential to play better than Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree there. You know, I think Tampa's really good right now. I mean, I think they're hitting their stride, but Seattle's defense blows. It totally blows. So I'm going to agree with you right now there. Let's go over to Arizona and New Orleans. Who's getting bounced there?
This one's another tough one, too, because I don't know if the Saints are necessarily better with Drew Brees in there. I know that he had a good fourth quarter, and he really came in clutch moments last game, but I got to say, I'm not convinced there. I think that they have a better defense than Arizona. But Arizona, to me, has a more potent offense right now because they really don't have any pass attack weapons. It's just Kamara. So you know where the offense is really going to be coming from. If they don't figure it out here in the next coming weeks, I would actually take the Cardinals to beat the Saints.
Really? You would take the Cardinals over the Saints right now?
They did not look good on offense. They can't pass the football. They don't know how. I don't want to say that they got a little lucky just having Drew Brees bail them out in the fourth, but I think he was like 8 or 9 for 24 at one point. That's bad, really bad. And it wasn't just to me that it was a one-off. Like, they looked like they had no idea who to throw the ball to or what receivers could beat anybody because they did not beat anybody deep at all.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, but I also do not trust Arizona's offense at all. Look at that. They're in a dogfight with the Eagles. All these games, they've been in dogfights. They should not have beat Buffalo. Like, I think
that's
a lot of
their
offense. Wins.
That's their defense.
I mean, okay, that's fair. But still, I don't think that, you know, I don't think that Arizona would be able to keep pace with the Saints. Granted, if their defense is that bad, the Saints should be able to take it apart. You know, they handedly beat the Giants. Lost to the Rams, lost to the Patriots, lost to the Seahawks, beat the Bills on a Hail Mary, lost to the Dolphins. Do not have a good resume this year. Their quality wins were at the beginning. I mean, not even quality, but their wins were at the beginning of the season, beating Washington, the Jets, the Cowboys. They did beat the Seahawks in overtime, but they've lost a lot of primetime games. For me, I don't have faith in the Cardinals. I'm saying they get bounced. First round, in my opinion, I think they do.
The other thing is they could possibly even not make it just based off of how the standings end with the record. So
that's true. That's very true. We're only in week, 16 now? Coming up, week 16. So It'll be interesting to see what happens this weekend. But that pretty much does it, Noah. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean, these are all toss-up games. I don't know about you. I mean, other than that, that first game in the NFC that we talked about, I think it's all pretty much anyone can win at any time. I think the only two teams that really, I think, are a lock at this point are Kansas City and Green Bay. I think every other team could get eliminated based off of how they play. But
agreed.
Yeah. I mean, right now, those two teams, to me, they're the best in each conference. So
Agreed there. So, you know, this was a good week, good topics today. You know, Jets, we'll see what happens with them and with the Jags, if the Jags who win. No show next week. Got to take some time off. Not going to be here. So no show next week, but the week come back. What are we going to talk about, Noah? We got, during these, this next 2 weeks, we got bowl games coming up in January, college bowl games. We got NFL this weekend. Probably know the playoffs by the next time we have a show. So it'll be interesting when we come back, dude. I'm excited for it.
That too. Plus we have NBA starting tonight, actually.
Right, yeah.
Game's on right now, so probably could watch the Nets and the Warriors go at it. But in addition to that, too, in addition to all the football, college, NFL, NBA, NHL's coming back in January, so we could get ramped up for that as well.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait.